Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we had some interesting assignments to look at over the course of 3 days, and so how about I read the three assignments?
Lovely.
So Friday, millions of people long for immortality who do not know what to do with themselves on a rainy afternoon. Today, smile each time you see the color purple, the color of joy. Take a deep breath and feel the tension in the body release as you attend to the beauty around you. Feel the joy of living in the beauty of the eternal now. Saturday, rest does not come from sleeping, but from waking. Today, smile and RL each time you see white, the color of peace. Do a guided imagery that takes you to the rest and relaxation, the peace of being fully present. Listen often. And Sunday, the problem is not that there are problems. The problem is expecting otherwise and thinking that having problems is a problem. Today, notice the solutions rather than the problems. Every time conditioning tells you there's a problem, turn on the recorder and have a little heart-to-heart with the mentor. RL, the solution life presents. Let each of the conditioned stories about problems be a signal to come back to the clarity of life and the mentor.
Well, those are good ones, aren't they?
Absolutely. Okay, so how about we hear from our first caller?
Sounds good.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hi, Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hi, you guys.
What are you seeing?
Well, I want to talk about Sunday's assignment about problems. I'm right in the middle of it right now, and I recorded and listened about it this morning, and got what I feel is a good approach. It's a light approach. What is happening is that a member of my family is wanting something from me, and to get it, I was doing something pleasant for myself, and they came back with, why are you doing that yet again when I need help? And it's not that I didn't say I wouldn't help them. So I am feeling a little bit cajoled and, harassed to the point where I don't even want to see them texting me or calling me. So what I recorded and listened back, and what I got was just say wrong approach and leave it at that. Wrong approach.
Wrong? Are you saying WRONG?
Yeah, to them, wrong approach, instead of explaining or, they said...
Well, if I may, because we're way down the road of where our difficulty is, and that is believing that there is a problem. That's the whole thing that we're asked to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the same way there are no mistakes, there are also no problems. Those ideas are something that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate comes up with, and they're just dynamite approaches for controlling a human being so that human being will give all of life's attention to ego. So our work in waking up is to realize there aren't any problems. Not to figure out a better way, a more spiritual way to solve problems. So if I look at what's going on in my life as a problem, I'm already gone. Okay, I'm already in the land of ego, and there's not going to be any good result from it. There just isn't. And so if I come back to
Okay.
If I come back to, I'm in a conversation in conditioned mind about these circumstances that have been identified as a problem. How do I drop that and come back to the present? Okay, not how do I drop that and come back to the present so that then I'll get the right answer, so that then I'll be able to say the right thing, so that the other person will get it, so that they'll leave me alone, so that then I'll be... You with me?
Yeah. And yeah. They're expecting a response. I don't know how to respond.
Well, you know, as in my family, the expression was people in hell want ice water.
Okay.
And that was code for, yeah, people want a lot of stuff. People expect me, starting with me. Okay, starting with the ego, there are just a ton of expectations and demands and how it should be and how it has to be. And believing all of that is how we get set up in these places. So that's what we're learning to explore. Okay, so somebody expects an answer. Well, okay. All right. That doesn't, somebody in the saga who will chuckle if, at my attempt to get this right, would say, I guess it's in the world of business, your inefficiency does not constitute an emergency for me.
Okay.
And that can sound heartless or it can just sound true. Mm-hmm. Okay. So somebody's in a state about something. And not in a we're here to teach other people attitude of mind, but each one of us is responsible for our own state.
Mm-hmm.
So do I want other people to come in and rescue me and take care of me and change and be different and all of these things? Well, yeah, in the world of ego, that's what everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
But in the world of waking up and ending suffering, we're taking responsibility for the karmic conditioning that we've bought into. We're coming to a place of adequacy, of recognizing the adequacy of everyone. So rather than you're here to make everybody feel better as if that's going to end their suffering, what you get is you're ending the suffering that's happening in the only human being whose suffering you actually experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the person we call Rita.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And whatever is going on with everybody else, if you leave presence in order to get involved with what's going on with them, all we have is two people suffering. But if you stay in a place of center and let life guide you moment by moment by moment, then you become everybody's best opportunity to see the alternative to getting caught up in ego and going down the path of suffering. So if you want this person to have their best shot at ending suffering, you end suffering. Because then they will see it. They'll have a chance to see it, at least in one place on this earth. If you don't, you're all lost.
I get that. I'm taking that deeply to heart. For ending suffering for me would be just to ignore it.
There's no, see, ego jumps right in. So actually, at the risk of sounding immodest, I just laid out the approach to ending suffering in a lifetime.
Right.
And what ego wants to do with that is come in with, but what do I do?
Yeah.
Which takes us right back to the world of ego and its problems and how to solve them. And what we're encouraged to do is be still in presence and let life guide us.
Okay.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this one again, okay? Take notes, record and listen. Because there's much for you in going forward. The advantage of having relatives is that we tend to have them for a lifetime. Not that we need to, but most people choose to. And so this will continue to be an opportunity in your life, and you'll then benefit from that by continuing to be able to work with it.
Okay.
All right, good. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Rita. Thank you. You know, Sherry, it's just that perfect bamboozle that that happens to all of us, which is the thing that we talk about, the problem set is predefined so that we'll never be able to step out of it. In other words, we're given the problem, told to believe there's a problem, and then attempt to solve the problem within the problem frame that ego paints for us. And to recognize that we have to do what Harrison Ford did or Indiana Jones did, which is to step out of the box. Right?
Yes.
That's the first
when you
step.
When you confront that giant guy waving those swords around, just pull out your pistol and shoot him.
Exactly.
Which sounds terribly un-Buddhist, but the principle is the one that we need to follow. The point that you make is so important, Ashwini, because so I'm given by the voices in my head a problem. And I am given the three places to look in solving that problem, all of which simply perpetuate the problem.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because in that analogy of Indiana Jones, the problem is there's a guy with a sword. It implies that I can only fight him with the sword and that I'm required to fight him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But when we're following life's guidance, there are sometimes some startling, we could say shocking, possibilities for us that are offered.
Yes, and it's the one you brought up at the kickoff, which is in a tug of war, the only solution is to pick up the rope and engage in the game. But winning requires us to let the rope go and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's the possibility that from the lens of conditioning, we can't see.
Yes, exactly. We're just caught in that trap. Yeah, and it fits so perfectly with what inspired us to do this in the first place, right? So with the Seeing Through the Eyes of Love, that was inspired by people being so unhinged by the political situation, which from a conditioned mind perspective is unhinging, right? And so how do we drop that tug-of-war rope and walk off to do what we see as our contribution to having the world be the way we choose for it to be. So I can either stand there and pull on that rope trying to beat those other people, or I can say, well, kindness is actually what's important to me, so I don't want to waste my time pulling on this rope. I'm going to find a place to be kind, to bring kindness to the world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
And that, may I just say one more thing? It was so powerful in that conversation with Rita, which is, and then we are told to step off the board. And then that impulse because we're so conditioned to use that content to work out how to do something. Right, because the solution is always in not having a position and letting that go, which isn't
not in finding. Yeah, it's not in finding the right position, is what you're saying.
That's right.
We're not looking for. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that there's value that the whole way to break the logjam is in being, not doing. And what conditioning wants us to do is to pick up the rope again, because otherwise it has lost its ability to control us.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly so. The point that you're making is that if we realize all of that doing is always in service to ego, we can start looking toward being.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air.
Right.
Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Siri. Well, so I was also looking at that the same assignment of the one about the problem, and just, it was like kind of in thought in neon letters or something, just that even to call something a problem is the beginning of what is actually the problem.
Yes, and the problem is in calling something a problem. Yes.
Yes. Because then that's the beginning of a process that causes suffering, and there's all this trying to prevent this problem. Then there's all the conversation and behaviors around that. Then there's all the conversation on, you know, how it's a problem and how long it's been a problem, and then on and on, and then all these
and solutions. what you've done wrong to have this as a problem.
Oh,
how it's your
course.
Fault that this is a problem.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It takes me back to that favorite quote of mine of how you say it is how it is. That's mm-hmm. what you're pointing at, right? If you say it's a problem, it's a problem.
Oh,
if you
wow.
don't say it's a problem, it's not a problem.
Yes.
So we always get to have what we choose. Always.
And yeah, that I really appreciate that. I've heard that expression, and that so I really appreciate that clarification on it. It gives me new appreciation for that expression.
Mm-hmm. It's literal, isn't it? It's what you experienced. It's what you saw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how the solutions, like you all were just saying, it's like all these so-called solutions get presented, but it's just more conversation because they never, it always either don't work or they haven't worked or there's something wrong with all the solutions.
Yes. And then the solutions become part of the problem, which they always were. And it comes back to, well, what are you doing wrong that you can't solve this problem?
Yeah, and there was just this spiraling down and down. I said, wait a minute. So I said, how can I apply, you know, this assignment? And I just, oh, it was just great. I did a lot of recording, and I just said, just drop it. Just drop it. I'm practicing unconditional love, and let's just go on and do some yoga and meditate. And it just, like, all went away.
It all went away. And, you know, people who are identified with ego and devoted to be, which, you know, at a certain point in our lives, we all are, right, are going to say, well, that's, you know, that fine. And I think this was in the key, you know, for the ostrich who's got its head buried in the sand, it doesn't mean your bottom isn't up there waving around as a target, right? So, good, you go do yoga and meditate, but that problem is still a real problem. But what you prove to yourself is, no, it isn't. It's actually not. Because when I'm doing yoga and meditating and my attention is in the present, no, it's not a problem. I can make it a problem again by turning my attention to it and starting down that road. Pick up the rope and start, you know, pulling on it, and I'll have a problem again. But otherwise, what I've got is an opportunity. An opportunity to see how life unfolds perfectly to assist me to see what it is that I need to see. That's what I was calling a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because it just was so obvious, you know, seeing the whole thing and then to have the experience. And I even said on the recording, rather have this, quote, have this happen and be able to bring all this recording and listening and unconditional love to this than have not had this happen.
Yes, and all the insights and all the clarity and moving through something, the increased faith that you're fine, that life is on your side, that all that's going to happen as you pay attention is you're going to see more and more. And as you see more and more, you're going to be freer and freer and freer and freer and happier and happier and happier. That's all that's going to happen.
Wow. That's fabulous. That's very inspiring.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah. And we can prove you started. That's what you described. You were proving that to yourself, right? And you'll just go on proving it to yourself because you have a direction now. There's a clarity about it. Yeah. You know what to do, in quotes. When that stuff takes over, you make a recording and you go do yoga and meditate. That's your problem-solving technique going forward.
Exactly, because the whole bamboozle was to solve the problem was a way of taking care of myself. Well,
yes.
It wasn't really taking
no,
care of me,
not.
But doing yoga and meditating was.
Yes, exactly so.
Yeah. So I so appreciate this assignment because I don't know if I would have seen it if it hadn't been for
this
assignment.
Well, isn't it the truth? Isn't it the truth?
Yeah.
With every, and that's the point, right? So there is this problem, there is this assignment. It all works beautifully, perfectly together for you to have more clarity.
Yes.
Why we live in gratitude.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Tony. You know, Sherry, I think you just laid it out for us again, which is, and Tony assisted by saying, defining it as the problem is the start of the suffering process. And so what we do is, as soon as we notice that, we redirect the attention. So the key to solving a problem, within quotes, is to redirect the attention. Because if we redirect the attention, we have the ability to recontextualize our perspective. So in the context of awareness, a problem is no longer a problem, but an opportunity to transcend what we need to encounter in order to stop the suffering process. But it's that redirect of the attention that allows us to have the opportunity to recontextualize.
That's it. That's it. Yeah, and instead of looking to conditioned mind, we look to life.
Yes.
Okay, I know there's a gift here for me. Can I have a little help, a little clarity on what that is? And sure enough, we have it. I mean, we have to do our part, right? I need to pick up the recorder. I need to redirect the attention. I need to pick up the recorder. I need to talk to the mentor. I need to go do some yoga. I need to go sit. Right? I need to go for a walk in nature. All the things that we know to do to come back to the present. Right, that's my part, and then the gift will be revealed.
Yes, and to really not fall for the bamboozle that the redirection of the attention is an avoidance tactic, because that's the bamboozle we argue for. Like, okay, well, but it's still a problem. I'm just avoiding it. No, we're redirecting the attention to recontextualize.
Yeah.
Not avoid.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, exactly the opposite of avoid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more before we do our assignment for the day. Next caller,
you're
now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
I'm still trying to get used to doing this, so I hope I can say what I wanted to say. I worked with the Saturday assignment about... Mm-hmm. The color white and peace. And I was really excited to do that because I had, the day before, got into this really peaceful place. And then next day when I had the assignment, and I recorded about it. I was right there, so I recorded all the details. And then the next day, I got the assignment to do the guided imagery. And so I tried my best to describe it when it was all fresh for me there and how to get back into it. And then I experienced it again that day. And but it still felt like it was just kind of a chance that I got into that place. Like wasn't it was lucky if it happened.
Yeah, it was an accident, Emily. It was just an accident. You just walk along and stumbled into peace, and that's just how it is.
Well, I didn't, I didn't know, well, how do I get to that when I want to? But the thing I didn't do was listen to the recording. And so so yesterday I thought, oh, I'll do an experiment and just try listening to it all day.
So Emily, like just for everybody else, I want to stop, okay? It dropped in, right?
Okay.
There was an insight that came to you. Isn't that what happened?
Yeah.
It just suddenly occurred to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important
piece of it. And you followed that guidance. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could, and I thought, I'll just see what happens. And I put it in and played the two recordings that I had made over and over. And I was, you know, a little skeptical of it, thinking, oh, maybe I was peaceful to begin with, or it was a peaceful day in the house.
So now let me point this out for everybody. Now what you're describing is you were listening to ego talk to you about this stuff and try to talk you into being suspicious and skeptical, which is a way to set you up to listen to that, and then it says, see, it doesn't really feel the same. No, it doesn't. Okay, so, okay, go ahead.
Right.
I'm just pointing out the cast of characters.
So then I kept it in, and I, even though it like seemed like half the time I couldn't even hear it because it was so noisy in the house, and like the other half I was facing out and thinking of something else. But then I felt like it was helping me remember it all day.
Oh yeah,
It was. It seemed like maybe you had said this, that it was like a radio wave, like that I kept, even though I would not hear it for a while, and then I would come back and hear a little bit of it, like that I kept tuning back into it.
Yeah.
And I
it's like a lullaby, right?
Yeah.
It's like a lullaby. It has that same soothing effect on the nervous system.
Yeah,
you may not be attuned to it all the time, but it's soothing you. Yep.
Yeah, and I did feel after a while like I was walking around in this bubble of peace in a way. And it kept the voices quiet, and it was the day I was supposed to record about problems, and it was like that didn't even come up.
I'm quiet. I don't have any. I'm peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was, and I still thought, oh, maybe it's still a peaceful day. But then, you know, I realized when my partner came home and was like annoyed by what was happening in the house, in about a second, you know, of all the chaos that was going on, that I was like, oh yeah, I'm in this very peaceful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Regardless of all those life circumstances that are meant to mean you cannot possibly be peaceful. So one of the things that I want to add to that, just for everybody who might be listening to that as a process, which I would support about 1,000%. Okay, just stay with it. Put the recording on and just listen to it. Doesn't matter what the voices are saying. Doesn't matter if your attention wanders. Doesn't matter anything. And so I watched this wonderful little film recently about world, a very young woman who was in the process of dying and coming to some very profound awarenesses of life and how it works and that sort of thing. And one of the things she talked about in the film was her father teaching them when she was a child to say thank you until you mean it. So I want to tie that in with what you just said, because what the voices will say, and they tried to do it with you, is this, you know, this isn't working. You don't feel the way you felt. You know, I mean, you're just not going to that place. You know, when you made that recording, you were in a really peaceful place, but
you're not there now, and this isn't working. You're just wasting time. Okay, all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, and
what
and
we
you're
do
not
with
listening.
That's right. What we do with that is the equivalent of saying thank you until you mean it. If you continue to listen, you will reach that place of peace. You will.
Yeah.
It's guaranteed. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Emily.
Talk to you soon, I hope.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And that's it, right? Practice is a process. Awakening is a process. And we come to the end of another glorious 30 minutes, Sherry.
I know. I have to tell you that I didn't necessarily miss this over the weekend because I was busy having a good time doing other things. But this morning I woke up, I was so excited to be with this group of people in this conversation. So feeling very grateful.
Yes, and so here's our assignment for today. Always be a little kinder than necessary. Today, be a whole lot kinder to yourself than you had imagined possible. Nurture yourself with kindness all day long. At the end of the day, create a recording that assists you to remember the simple ways you were kind to yourself. Meditation, a walk in nature, looking out the window, breathing deeply, etc. Listen often.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Well, today,
all right, then.
Another exciting day. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. See you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.